with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 82, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to kick off with a product that can literally let you sniff out your smartphone's notifications. Next up, the bad that can stop you from compulsive spending. And 3D printers are now on sale at an Australian retailer. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out Sony VAIO Fit Multi-Flip PC and the new mobile home device so you can use Siri on your iPhone safely behind the wheel. On this week's Tech Guide interview, we're going to chat with Intel's Dan Anderson about choosing the laptop that's right for you or your child. And in this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we're going to tell you the apps that are running down your smartphone's battery. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump right in. Well, our first item of this week's show is something that is a little unusual, let's just say. It's a product that can work with your iPhone or Android smartphone, and it's out of Japan, a country that is used to coming up with some very unusual products, and this is no exception. It's called Senti, and it is, to put it as simply as possible, a way for you to smell your notifications on your device. The device, it's a small balloon-shaped product that slips into the 3.5mm headphone jack on top of your phone or the bottom of your phone, depending on where your headphone jack is on your device. And what it does, it can be programmed for several things. First of all, it can give you notifications. So when you receive a text message or a notification on Facebook or any kind of push notification, you can, instead of having the usual vibration or the sound or a light flashing, you can now have a certain smell associated with it. So whether it's something floral, maybe rose or lavender or jasmine, or maybe the smell of coffee, there's others available as well, like strawberries. I think bacon is coming soon, so you get the picture, or you can smell the picture anyway. But the other things you can do, you can also set it so that it can spray out the scent at certain times. You can also program it so that it can program a larger spray so that the scent can actually be smelled by not just you but by people in the room. So the spray comes from right in the middle of the small Senti balloon. There's a little opening where the spray comes out. Now what you do, you put little scent cartridges inside. So the cartridge of choice, you might want to smell coffee that day. So you slip in the coffee scent cartridge inside the device, and it will then be spraying out coffee smells. I know that if I was smelling that all day, I'd probably want to drink about 15 coffees that day as well. So maybe that might not be a good idea. But there are more scents coming. Now, this is a device that's available now. It works with a companion app on your iPhone. So it's for iOS as well as for Android in the Play Store. And it's available through the Senti website, which I've linked through my Tech Guide story. It costs $34.99 US, add on shipping costs to that. Cartridges are $4.99. There are five available: rose, strawberry, lavender, coffee, and rosemary, with others coming. Others include, I think it's going to be bacon. It's going to be another one. Some other floral smells, some more fruit smells as well. But it's an interesting little device, to say the least. If you want to read a little bit more about it, sniff out a little more about that story. Sorry, I couldn't help that one. Senti, you can read about it at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Moving on from Senti to another product that a lot of people thought, and me included, was an April Fool's Day joke. But then when I realized I read this story, it was February, I thought this must be for real. And the product I'm talking about is called the iBag. And this is a bag that can allow compulsive credit card users to, well, it will help them curb that problem. Now, this comes from a product, we should say up front, comes from a company called finder.com.au. And they're a company, a site, in fact, that helps users compare credit cards and their interest rates and annual fees and helps you get the best credit card deal for yourself. Now, they've created this product to highlight a problem the situation in Australia with credit card debt. And that debt stands at $34 billion. And that equates to $4,422 of debt per person here in Australia. So the iBag is designed to help these people who have a problem with compulsive spending with their credit card, helps them keep the card in the bag, let's just say. The iBag has got several bits of technology included. The first is an RFID chip. That's a radio frequency identification chip. And what that does, it will allow the bag will know when your wallet has been taken out of the bag. But that's not the only safeguard on board. There's also a GPS monitor as well, a GPS chip on board that can also detect when the user enters a shopping center or any other what they call danger spending zone. There's also a GSM module, so it can automatically send an SMS to, I don't know, your backup person, a responsible other who can maybe talk you down and say, look, what are you doing? You don't need to spend that money today. So it sends an SMS to that person and lets them know that you're being tempted. You're tempted to spend. You may be in a spending zone, a danger spending zone, and it sends an alert to say that, let's just say, Stephen has just taken out his wallet near a high spending area. So then you can jump on the phone and try to talk me down. One other thing it does, it can actually lock itself at vulnerable shopping times. So the vulnerable spending times of the day, maybe, I don't know, Thursday nights or lunch times if you might work in the city or something like that, or weekends, it can also lock itself. So you can literally not get your wallet out of the iBag. Now, this is a product that kind of like Kickstarter is going to be produced if they do receive enough interest. So if anyone wants to order the bag, if they receive enough orders, just like they do on Kickstarter, they're going to go ahead and make the bag and fulfill those orders. There's a YouTube video on my story on Tech Guide as well as some images just to show that this is an actual product that has been proven to work. It can be built and will be built if enough people express interest in it. So if you're a problem spender, or you may know someone who's a problem spender, you might be doing them a favor. I don't know. But the iBag may just be the answer. You can read more about that at techguide.com.au. Now, on the printing side, I'm sure plenty of you have heard lots about 3D printers. I know at CES this year, the area where 3D printers were in 2013 was pretty small. There was probably about five or six stands with their own 3D printers. This year, I think that area quadrupled in size. There were so many more, so many companies offering 3D printers. Printers are actually getting smaller in size, cheaper in price, even available in multicolors with various abilities. And I think it's now getting to a point where it's becoming more affordable, it's becoming more useful, and it's now available in Australia. Just the other day, Officeworks announced they will become the first Australian retailer to offer 3D printers in stores. So at Officeworks, if you want to pick up a packet of pens, maybe another a spare chair, some post-it notes, you can also add a 3D printer to that shopping list. The actual 3D printer in question here is called the 3D Systems Cube 3D printer. And it can print objects that are 14 centimetres by 14 centimetres by 14 centimetres inside. So 14 centimetres cubed, so a shape smaller than that size. And just as 2D printers can print just on paper, the 3D printer uses a special plastic filament. It actually melts the plastic filament and creates a layer at a time so that it builds up this 3D object. So it does one layer, and then it comes back and does the next layer. So it slowly builds up. And unlike a traditional 2D printer where a document's printed out in a minute, a 3D printer takes a lot longer. There's an example there where if you do want to print out, say, and it does feel very strange to say this, print out a smartphone case, it can take around 2 hours to complete the job. So better set and forget, maybe get out, go shopping, go do your exercise, or go do something else for a couple of hours, but it will print it for you in the plastic, that the plastic filament, which will then form into this object. The filament is fed into the printer, kind of like a cable. So you place the filament at the back of the printer, and it feeds it in like a cable, and then it melts it and then puts it on top of the other layers as you go. Out of the box, there are 25 free 3D creations. So if you buy this printer from Officeworks, you can create 25 free objects. So, there'll be examples of, I think, little Eiffel Tower or boxes, cubes, triangles, all different shapes and sizes, little things you can print. You can also use the included software that can let you help create your own creations. So that comes with it as well. There's also going to be a Cubify store. So there is an app store that allows you to download various pieces of software. So if you want to create your own 3D objects or download existing 3D objects that have been created by other people, there's a whole ecosystem that's going to be built around this whole 3D printing. I won't call it a craze, this 3D printing movement. And it is moving. Now, this Cube 3D printer is available from 21 office stores around Australia, and it's also available online, so you can order it online. But here's the kicker. Here's the price. It's $1,499. It's not cheap. It is an emerging technology. I think that in a year, possibly longer, this product's going to probably duck under $1,000. So I think you're going to see some real movement when this jumps in at $999. There'll be a few people who will feel a little bit more comfortable paying that kind of money. And look, at the high end, this technology is really useful. It's already been used in various fields, including medicine. They've used 3D printers to print out to print heart valves and other body parts. So it is a technology that is certainly quite useful. How useful it is, it's going to be in the home is yet to be told. But you know, rather than if there are small objects and things that are quite easy to create, little replacement parts, things that you can use around the house. You might want to create, I don't know, a hook to hang on the wall. I don't think that would be too hard to create with a product like this. So I think the limit is just our imagination. And as more and more of these printers, these 3D printers are available, you're going to see a lot more ideas, and that will no doubt generate even more demand for these products. If you want to see what they look like, you can check it out at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, there's a new device in town. It's called the Netgear Nighthawk. It's an AC1900 smart Wi-Fi router. You can get the fastest Wi-Fi currently available with the Netgear R7000 Nighthawk smart Wi-Fi router. Built with gaming, streaming, and mobile devices in mind, this next generation gigabit Wi-Fi router has a 1 GHz dual-core processor. processor and delivers the ultimate in Wi-Fi speed and range, so you can enjoy lag-free gaming or video streaming with less buffering around your home. The Netgear Nighthawk is packed with advanced features, from prioritizing gaming, music, and video streaming to automatic backup using ReadyShare Vault for PCs and for Macs using Apple Time Machine. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R7000 Smart Wi-Fi Router and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick. Tech Guide.
All right, we're going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews with a, well, you could almost call it a laptop. It looks like a laptop at first glance, but it's actually a lot more than that. And I'm talking about the Sony Vaio Fit. It's a multi-flip PC. What is that, you may ask? Well, it is a device that is just as comfortable in the form of a laptop as it is in the form of a tablet. And it also can be positioned as in a viewing stand. So you're watching movies or you're making a presentation, you can just have it so that only the screen is being displayed, so the keyboard faces around the other way. Now, how it does this, there's a hinge on the back of the screen. And what happens is, if you want to flip the top of the screen, you can then turn the screen 180 degrees and it will then flip to the back side of the front panel and then allow you to fold it down if you want to move into, say, tablet mode. So then the screen then folds back down onto the keyboard and all you can see is the screen. So it's got a 13.3-inch screen, so that's quite a large tablet to be using. It's got Windows 8 on board, and, of course, the full keyboard is there. When you want to flip that screen back up and out, it can sit like a regular laptop computer, and that's what it looks like at first glance. It's got a keyboard with a decent-sized trackpad, a nice wrist rest as well. I reviewed the silver model, but I understand there are other colors. So this is a nicely built device by Sony, pretty high quality construction. And if you do want to switch it over into that viewing mode, you simply turn that screen back the other way. But rather than folding the screen back down onto the keyboard, you keep it at an angle so that it's comfortable for you to view a movie or a presentation or any kind of app or game that you might be playing and enjoying. So it's really an all-in-one device. It's handy if you can't decide whether to buy a laptop, a tablet. This is both, and it does both jobs pretty well. It's backed by a decent processor as well. It's got an Intel i5 processor on board, the 4200U processor running at 1.60 gigahertz, and it's also can jump that up with a turbo boost to 2.60 gigahertz. So performance side, it does very, very well. There's 4 gig of RAM on board and a 128 gig solid state drive. That's an SSD drive under the hood. So that's really quickly access your data, very fast startups, and it's performance wise is enough to get through some pretty intense work, whether it's video editing or picture editing, some gaming. So the Vaio Fit's a useful product, an all round device. So if you are thinking of buying perhaps a laptop, perhaps a tablet, you can actually get both. The Sony Vaio Fit is I reviewed the 13-inch model, although there is a 15-inch model available as well. The Sony Vaio Fit 13 is priced at $1,699. And as I said, it's running Windows 8. And because it's built by Sony, you know you're getting a decently built product, very well designed. It's actually still quite thin and light, no matter how you position it. In laptop mode, it can pass for an Ultrabook. It's pretty thin, 14.3 millimeters, pretty light as well, 1.31 kilograms. It's got two USB 3 ports, a HDMI out. It also has an SD memory card slot. There is no optical drive, so you've got your USB ports and the SD memory card slot to help you out there. You want to read the full review? You can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, we often travel with our smartphones in our cars, and there are laws that govern this in Australia and around the world for that matter. So having a device that can help you use your phone safely is very important. Now, there's one feature on the iPhone that is that can help achieve this, and that's called Siri. That's the voice-activated assistant where you can talk to it, ask it questions, give it commands, and it can do those for you hands-free. Now, the problem with that is that the law states that you can't always touch your phone. You can't have your hands on the phone. It's got to be in a mount. But even in a mount, it can sometimes be a little distracting. It's in your eye line. So what you need is a product that can let you access Siri without actually touching your phone. So what the answer to that question is a product called Mobile Home. This is a small Bluetooth device that fits on your car's sun visor, very similar to the way a Bluetooth device would. And it is basically just a large home button that can activate Siri while you're driving. Now, your phone can be out of sight. You can be in your bag, can be in the console, can be in the boot, could be anywhere within that Bluetooth range. You don't actually have to see your phone. You can talk to your phone and ask it to do a variety of things. So you've still got your hands safely, securely on the wheel, eyes are on the road, but with Mobile Home, you can activate Siri and ask it to do a number of things, including initiating phone calls. You can even compose and send text messages. You can even have your text messages read out. So if there's an email you want to send, you can even write and send an email. You can control your music, post to Facebook, post to Twitter. You can even ask the weather, set yourself reminders, get turn-by-turn directions, and even look up numbers. And this is all just by talking to the device and using Mobile Home as your hands-free link to Siri. So worth checking out, because I think this is a serious problem in Australia, is safety, driver safety. There are an alarming number of people who still think it's okay to text while they're driving. Research in the US says a texting driver is 23 times more likely to crash. So I think that stat in itself says how dangerous, speaks volumes of the danger of this exercise. And I've seen, frighteningly, I've seen drivers down the expressway, 80, 100, 110, with their phone in one hand, their hand on the wheel, their other hand on the wheel, and they're texting at these high speeds. Not safe at all. So a device like Mobile Home is something that can really help you out. If you do still need to send and receive those messages, hear them, make your phone calls, it can do it, or it can do all of that for you and do it safely. It's priced at $79, can be ordered from the site, which I've linked on my story at Tech Guide. That site is www.drivewithsiri.com. I have created the link at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Well, it's that time of year again. It's back to school time and almost back to uni time as well. And also the start of a new year. And generally is a time where a lot of people, not just students, are thinking, well, you know what? I may need a new laptop. I may need a new computer or both. So we thought we would talk to a person who would know a little bit about this and give us his views on what we need to think about, what we need to consider when buying a new laptop. And that's Intel's Advertising and Enterprise Manager, Dan Anderson. And we spoke to him earlier. Well, Dan, thanks for joining us. It's that time of year again, back to school. There's a lot of people now making decisions on the right type of computer that suits them. What's your best advice?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, it is that time of year, and it can be confusing for a lot of people as well. And people have to choose between operating systems, whether they want a tablet or a laptop, what size of device to get. You know, with all that in mind, there are a few key things that you need to think of before you start. Probably the first one is to actually speak to your school, if it's a school student you're buying for, and find out what their needs are in terms of the device that someone wants to bring in, mm-hmm. Whether that be a tablet or a laptop, and if they have any specific requirements mm-hmm. around that.
Are you finding that more students are now tending to take up a tablet rather than a laptop? What are you seeing in the market now?
It's a little bit of both, and it really depends how you're using it. So tablets, certainly for primary age students, we're seeing more uptake there. For secondary and university, we're still seeing the laptop as the primary device. Way, way back for me, but if you remember, there's a lot of reports you need to write and assignments to do, and basically that full keyboard and also the extra performance you get in a laptop
Understandable.
Is really necessary there.
Well, on the laptop, I suppose, one thing you need to consider probably first of all is the screen size.
Yeah, that's right. And the screen size also plays into the weight of the device. It's something that you're going to be carrying around all day. You don't want it too heavy. Mm-hmm. So screen size should, you know, it's a personal choice, but obviously if you go too large, that's going to add some weight to your device.
Just on the weight, it is an issue, isn't it, with school children now, the weight of the bag that they carry to school. Not only are their textbooks and all these are their lunch and now a computer on top of that. So I believe you'd agree with me here that the lighter the better would be then, wouldn't it, in that case?
Yeah, absolutely. The lighter the device, the better. You're not just carrying it in the bag to and from school, but a lot of the time now you're carrying it between classes as well. So it's really in your hand for most of the day. So definitely a thinner, lighter device is the way to go there.
Okay, and in terms of processing power, I get a lot of people sending questions into my Tech Guide forum, calling me up on the radio, trying to find the best computer for their Year 12 student or whoever. We're trying to make this easy to understand. I think that's sort of part of the challenge, isn't it, for Intel there? I understand the i3, i5, i7, that kind of makes it a bit easier for customers now, doesn't it?
That's right. That gives us a real, what we call a good, better, best lineup, depending on how much performance you need. A good rule of thumb there is to buy the best you can, because these devices, you are going to use them for multiple years, and yep. The demands on computing only grow.
Sure.
We would recommend for a high school student an i5 device at a minimum.
Yep.
If you're using a lot of, if you have a heavy workload, then an i7 might be appropriate.
Uh-huh.
For a primary school student, you could possibly do an i3, but it's not going to hurt you to have an i5 or better there. Sure. Either.
Okay, and what about a lot of people sort of they do their research and they find out about, okay, I need a certain hard drive size, I need a certain amount of RAM, and these all change over time. But as the devices improve, you kind of get more bang for your buck in these areas, don't you?
That's right. And, similar to the processor, you're best buying the best you can afford there, because, no one's ever said they've got too much memory on their computer.
I class memory like money. You can never have too much.
What we are seeing, though, is a bit of a shift towards solid-state drives, or you might see that on the catalog as a SSD drive.
Sure, yeah.
And what that's going to give you is a more reliable computing experience. Students aren't known for taking the best care of their things all the time. So, a high school student might be dropping his bag with a computer in it. If you have a solid state drive, that's less likely to fail on you. And, it's sure. Important stuff. If you're doing
absolutely.
Your HSC, you don't want to be losing all your assignments.
And of
so
course,
we'd recommend an SSD.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, the Ultrabook, which is type of computer, laptop computer powered by Intel processors, that obviously has the ticks all the boxes, really, doesn't it? The lightweight SSD, fast processors. So is that sort of is that now an affordable option now?
Yeah, it is an affordable option for most people. And the other thing that that an Ultrabook will give you is a long battery life as well. And if you're a student, you need to be using the laptop throughout the day, then that's really important.
Sure.
So we'd say, you want at least 6.5 hours, preferably more, of battery life, so you don't have to be recharging or running out halfway through a class.
Sure.
And again, the Ultrabook will give you that. There's a lot of Ultrabooks on the market.
Absolutely.
They consistently have great battery life. They're thin and light, and they have good performance as well.
Well, just on that battery life, tell us how the improvements, the constant improvements to the processor on your side of the business there through Intel, how does that relate to battery performance?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that go into battery performance. One is obviously the battery, which Intel doesn't create. Two is screen size and screen brightness. But, we haven't left it to others to innovate around battery life. With the processor, it's kind of, it almost sounds counterintuitive. The faster it is, the better battery life you get.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is we refer to it as Huggy, H-U-G-I, mm-hmm. which is hurry up and get idle. So the faster a processor can do the work, The faster it can go back into a deep sleep state where it's not drawing power from the battery. So you actually get better battery life as you improve the performance in a lot of ways.
Excellent. Well, some terrific advice there, Dan. We really appreciate your time appearing on Tech Guide.
That's great. Thanks, Steve.
Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, if you could name the number one complaint by many smartphone users, it would be that their battery drains too quickly. It's a problem that everyone complains about, that everyone suffers, and we do plenty of things to try lengthen our battery charge, things like turning off Wi-Fi, turning off Bluetooth, turning off 4G even, doing all kinds of things, turning down the screen brightness, all those things, and they contribute to maybe a little bit more battery life. But you know what? The biggest offender for battery drainage are the apps we use, and some are worse than others. They have quite an impact on your battery. And there are a few. The reason they do have a drain on your battery because they use things like location services, they have push notifications, and often are running in the background the whole time. So what do we do? Well, first of all, let's identify some of those apps. And the first one is Maps. A lot of us use Google Maps or Apple Maps, and this can really be affect your battery because it's obviously using your GPS system as well. It's also using data, so it's calling in data. Depending on where you're driving, it needs to sort of fill in the map as you go. And using Maps uses up not only your processor and your GPS and draining your battery, it also uses up data. I didn't know this until I wrote my story. 15 minutes of Google Maps, you can use up 9 megabytes of data, so it can affect if you're on a limited data allowance per month. That can have an impact, especially if you're using it every day, using it often, it can have an effect. Right, the social media users out there, Facebook, Twitter, these also can have a solid impact on your battery. Reason being is that by default, they have an automatic refresh feature. They run in the background so that the next time you access the app, the very latest status updates, the very latest tweets, everything is there. It's there waiting for you so that it doesn't have to call in and you don't have to watch a loading wheel. It's all there for you. Similarly to Maps, it does also suck up a lot of data. You use 5 meg of data for every 15 minutes you're on Facebook. Something to consider as well. Another app to watch out for is Skype. Would a lot of us leave it running in the background because people might call us on Skype. It won't work if your Skype app is closed down. You need it up and running in the background for you to receive that call. But you know what? While you're waiting for that call, it's also running your battery down. The camera, similar deal. It uses location, geolocation. Also, if you've got the flash turned to on all the time, you should turn it on to off or auto. It'll also save the flash from firing. But another one is gaming apps, and there are plenty of versions of gaming apps, like say let's take Angry Birds as the example, where there's a free version that's powered by ads. It makes its revenue by serving you lots of ads. These ads also can have an impact because they're running, they're seeking out location information, sending location information, so they're pretty active in the background. If you enjoy your games and you don't want your battery to run down, you know what, spring an extra few bucks, get the full version so you're not running apps as well, the ads in the app as well. You can still play the game, which, by the way, does have an impact on the battery because you're using the screen, the processor, speakers, that does have an effect. But if you go the full version, you're not having those annoying little ads that can also make your battery turn red by mid-afternoon instead of by the evening. You want to read those full tips? I've written all about them at techguide.com.au. And that's our show for another week. If you want to read about more about anything we spoke about, you can head over to techguide.com.au, and you can also get in touch by email at info@techguide.com.au. And don't forget our forum. You can send us your help desk questions. It may be read out on the very next episode of Tech Guide. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for listening. It's been great, as usual, having your company. We look forward to you tuning in again next week. So until then, as we always say, stay safe and stay connected.